This episode of Own the Gray is brought to you by I Am. Discover your unique talents, realize your potential, and align to your path. Take the first step to uncover your life purpose by visiting deborahjones.ca/courses. Have you ever been told to act your age? From the minute we're born, we're judged according to how old we are, and this can lead us to being treated unfairly because of our age. This is ageism. It's the most widespread form of discrimination that will impact us all, especially as we get older. Western society currently supports this discrimination. And this is why I created the podcast. We are dispelling the notion that aging is undesirable and setting new, positive attitudes. I want to thank you for listening because it means that you are a part of this change for the better. We recognize that older adults have plenty to contribute to society. We know that we can all benefit from the wealth of experience that older adults have. It's clear that age is not the problem. Ageism is. One of the biggest problems is that the ageism we witness around us affects how we see ourselves as we get older. We start to believe what we read, see, and hear, and fit ourselves in the stereotype box. How sad is that? Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's hidden, but ageism is everywhere, even though it is illegal. Studies show that older people are not often consulted about their own care preferences. The decisions are made for them by others. Today, I'm speaking with Allison O'Shea, who's been on the front lines working with seniors and their families in the role of executive director for senior living companies. She knows that the aging arena is largely overwhelming and quite confusing. So she's here to share her tips and tricks on how to navigate aging and what to be prepared for financially, socially, and spiritually. Welcome to Own the Gray, a podcast to dispel the notion that aging is undesirable and setting new positive attitudes. I'm Deborah Jones, and I believe you can be vibrant and healthy throughout the best years of your life. Allison shares my passion for reframing aging, and she too is a change agent in how we talk about aging. Welcome to Own the Gray, Allison.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
In your line of work, I'm sure you've seen the confusion on the faces of seniors and their family members. And in some cultures, it's very simple. Honor, respect, and care for your elders. How did caring for elders in the West become so complicated? And what are the main stumbling blocks?
Unfortunately, I think we in our society have, if we don't talk about it, it won't happen kind of mentality. That may work in other areas of life, but we are all aging. We all age differently, but we are all aging. And the majority of people over the age of 85 need some sort of support in their daily life. So my goal with Openly Aging is to, you know, tell people the importance of talking about aging as early as, you know, when they're thinking about retirement and starting to put a plan in place. Because without that plan, we end up being at the mercy of those around us to make decisions for us. And that, you know, can really result in encouraging ageism because we're allowing ourselves to get into crisis and somebody else has to come in and save us. And isn't that kind of the definition of, you know, how ageism occurs?
Yeah. Disempowering ourselves by not empowering ourselves, right?
Yes, you can have control. And of course, we don't know how our aging will go, but there are things you can put in place to have the most control of, you know, when things happen as we age.
Awesome. So in your line of work, And I assume that's why you started Openly Aging, because of everything that you saw in working in these senior living homes. What is the most shocking thing that you've noticed that is common to families that have aging parents or things that they're dealing with? What is common that you've seen?
The most common thing I've seen that really made me take this step was most of the families I saw were coming to me in crisis, in complete and utter overwhelmed crisis. Mom was at home. Maybe she wasn't really doing that well, but we kind of, you know, pretended it was okay or tried to support the best we could. But then all of a sudden something happened. And now we have to make some very big life decisions for our loved one in a very emotionally heightened mindset. And we also don't know the options until you start looking at it. But the bottom line is making a big life decision when you're emotionally charged and feelings of crisis, feelings of guilt, is not the best time to make those big decisions. So that's truly where I saw we're really missing a piece of this puzzle, which is talking about it sooner.
Yeah. So that is what we're going to be doing today, isn't it? We're going to be talking about it. So even if you're not dealing with an aging parent, this is not necessarily just for the person that is it? It's for yourself.
My ultimate goal is to actually reach those that are just now starting to think about retirement, you know, and really talk to them for sure.
Yeah. So then you have 5 tips that you wanted to share with us, the questions that we need to ask ourselves to start to be prepared for keeping as much control as possible, or at least putting into place a plan, isn't it? Something that you can start with that maybe you can share. We'll get into the details of that. So what do you think are those 5 questions then?
Sure. The first one is it is never too early to identify your aging support system. Most of the time, this is going to be adult children. But in the world that we live in, where a lot of people don't live maybe where they grew up anymore, you have to think about that. Where are your adult children? Where are they living? If they're not local, in 10 years from when you retire, do you plan on moving toward one of your, you know, adult children or support system? If not, that's okay. But is your house accessible? You know, so there's all those things you have to think about way before you are entering into that time of your life. If you don't have a support system that you can identify, you know, there is a whole category in the senior industry called geriatric care managers. You know, forming a relationship with somebody or even just starting to understand what kind of role that person could have in your life would be very important. So really just honing in on when I am starting to need some support, who do I go to? Yeah. That's your first question.
And it could also be like grandchildren, for instance. It doesn't have to be your children necessarily.
Right. The other person has to know that, you know, this goes back to another question we'll go into in a minute, but, you know, communicating, will you be my support system is also very important.
Yeah, it is that awkward conversation though, isn't it? You know, it's that nobody really wants to talk about death, for instance, and this is really close to that. So it falls into that same category. But it, again, as you said, if we don't talk about it, then we end up in crisis where we don't have as many options, I would imagine, if we're in crisis. Is that the main thing that happens for us?
Absolutely. Well, you lose all control of the choices that are being made. You know, you're sitting down with your identified support system and saying, hey, if I ever, you know, start having cognition issues, you know, I live in this area. I have this money. I would really like to, you know, either stay home as long as possible or I'm fine with this community, but I've researched communities. So you're able to put some sort of blueprint in place to help that support system at least have an idea of your aging goals. And they can help facilitate those aging goals when you are getting to a place where that's becoming challenging for you.
Yeah, and that kind of falls in line with what your next question would be, is what is my financial situation? So can you talk us through that?
And I always tell people there's no right answer for this. I think that's another reason a lot of people don't talk about aging is, you know, there is all that talk out there. And a lot of aging resources are expensive. And so I think sometimes if we're concerned about that, we don't talk about it. But the reason this is important to find out and figure out is if you do have, you know, money and it's not as much of a concern, there are things, though, that you need to do way ahead of time. A continuing care retirement community, for example, is one of those communities that you buy into. And then it has all three levels of care. Those, a lot of them have 8 to 10 year wait lists. So if that is a goal of yours, eventually, you need to start putting, you know, get on that wait list. The same is for the opposite. If money is a concern, there are so many free resources out there. Caregivers of America is just one that mentioned here, Volunteers of America. But in your local communities, there's always, all over the world, there will always be resources that are based on income or very, you know, maybe free. Well, those wait lists are also 10 years. So really putting those insurance plans in place, the worst thing that happens is you get a phone call that your name is at the top of the list and you just have to decline. Your name doesn't go down lower, but at least you've put some insurance plans in place for that future aging.
Wow. So just let me clarify what you said. So if you get the phone call saying that we've got a place for you and you're not ready, you can stay on the wait list for the next available space and just keep at the top of the list until you need it.
You always stay at the top of the list. And or the best way I had someone describe it, it's like an on and off button. If you call them and say, okay, I'm ready, they'll turn you on. You always stay where you are. You can call them and say, I'm not ready, and you get turned off. And then you may not get the phone calls depending on what system they have, but you never lose that spot in line. So it's kind of like a turn on, turn off, which you have to get in early to get to that top spot.
Gotcha. So hang on. I'm just going to make a phone call, Allison. And then we'll come back to our conversation. Yeah.
Exactly.
So listeners, as soon as you've listened to this podcast, that's what you do. Yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing for sure. That's really good to know. And it gives you peace of mind too, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So Allison, what's the next question to ask?
So number three is, do you have a general idea of the options that are out there? And I have casually mentioned two or three just during this conversation, which shows that there are so many resources out there. This industry, this aging industry, is really one that is blowing up. I mean, people are coming into it with new ideas. So really having an understanding. I have met so many families, so many aging persons that don't know what's covered by insurance or what's not. Many people come into looking for senior living, for example, thinking it's covered by health insurance. And that is far from the truth. What is home health versus home care? Those are two very separate things. You know, home health is therapies, physical, occupational, speech with nursing support. You need a doctor's order. It's totally covered by insurance. You might have a copay. Every insurance policy is different. Whereas home care is where a certified individual will come into your home and provide support, dressing, bathing, whatever you may need, companionship. And that is not covered by health insurance. And so it's out of pocket. And the rates for that are, you know, can vary depending on which way you go. So just having a general idea, what is a continuing care retirement community? Why would you choose that versus maybe a rental option for long-term care, senior care? So it's just having a basic idea of what options are there as we age and, you know, kind of having a baseline understanding.
So I guess then the options are personal preference more than anything.
When I talk about this subject a lot, I always reference somebody's personality. Are you extroverted? Are you introverted? That goes a long way. Some people thrive in senior living, 55 and older. There's no maintenance. You can just enjoy all the happy hours, all the, you know, symphony trips. But for others, community living would be their worst nightmare. And so staying home is going to be their best option. Well, there needs to be plans for that. I've also seen the opposite, where somebody is at home because they're refusing. They just want to stay in their house forever, but they're really not thriving because they're missing a whole piece, the social engagement piece of life. And without that, we deteriorate faster. And so you also have to be aware of the idea. Everyone wants to stay home. If I hear that, I mean, I hear that all the time. I'm going to stay home.
Right.
Okay. But I do feel like some people aren't allowing themselves to see the options of moving into a community-like setting where you can really have just a support system. You can pick and choose when you want to socialize, but you're going to be able to get that social engagement piece. Everyone has those needs to feel connected.
So something came up as you were talking, and well, there are two things. One of them is, because we haven't been having these conversations until now, we may assume that we know what is best for us, or really what is the option. I mean, that is our topic, is what are the options. And I would think that staying home, because that's what we've done, you know, for all our life, is probably the only one that comes to mind until you start looking to see the different things. So one of my thoughts came up was, is there a way to investigate and get a feel for what it might feel like to live in a community?
Absolutely. So I have a few answers to that question. Number one, we have to remember that, especially this generation, that not so much the baby boomer generation, but the one right before them, they had terrible experiences of loved ones in senior care. All they had was kind of one level of care, what we call now skilled nursing. There's a lot of over-medication. There was a lot of the culture of senior living changed in the 90s, and that's where assisted living, the idea of assisted living, being in a home-like environment, came about, and it just blew up. You're going to have good communities. You're going to have communities that aren't good. So that's why, you know, researching, as I'll get into now, but that's really where a lot of these problems have started, is past experiences. So now that we do have all these options, to get more information or to get a feel, I have two suggestions. The first one is, you need to get on, most local communities have some sort of resource page where senior living communities can post events that they're doing. For example, locally, I am partnering with a newer senior living community, and we are putting a panel together of different experts in the field. And it's a great way for people that are just looking for information. It's a free event, can come and really learn about that community, but also get some, you know, learn about additional resources. Senior communities and senior industry, other companies are doing these events all the time. So in your local community, I always recommend reaching out to the local community near you, getting on their mailing list. I know that's very daunting for people sometimes because you feel like you're going to get inundated, but they just want to be able to invite you to events. And it's a great way for you as a consumer to get into these communities in a very low pressure, no sales way, and also learn a little bit. Also, most communities do have the option of staying for a weekend where you can experience in a guest suite, experience the community. This is obviously is a little more intrusive, and you really kind of have to put yourself out there as the guest of the community. You're going to get a lot of attention. But for some people, that is the best way for them to find out if this is the right, you know, level of care. But really going to those seminars and going to anything local that is giving information about options is really important, I feel.
Yeah, I wonder if the local libraries have resources that way.
Yep.
So then what's the fourth question to ask?
The fourth question is, have you communicated to your support system? Once again, have we told them that they are our support system, number one, and have they agreed? And number two, have you said, here's my financial situation, here is what I've researched, and here's what I know, here's the wait list I've put down, here's the things I'm doing, and here are my long-term goals. And it is basically handing your support system an aging plan that when the time comes and they have to come in and activate that aging plan, you have really given them some great pointers. Because as you mentioned before, when other people come in and make decisions for you, sometimes they're going to make those decisions based on them.
Right.
You know, what would I like? Well, if you have totally two different personalities, that's where that clash can really come in. I always tell people it's a gift to your support system. Your support system will look at this as a gift. Thank you so much. I appreciate knowing, even though sometimes for adult children to hear from adult parents, here's where I want to live. You know, when I have dementia, here's where, you know, what I want to do.
Right.
And it might be a little scary at first, but when the time comes, that those small conversations, that plan that you have given them is going to be such a gift. And it will allow them to honor you and provide as much dignity as possible during the aging crisis because they have an idea of your goals.
Yeah, I'm seeing it as even a conversation starter. So these are the things that I've discovered. These are the things that I want. What do you think about that? What do you have any other ideas that maybe might help guide this process so that we're both comfortable, for instance?
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. And that is question five.
Oh, okay. So yeah. What is question five?
Are you listening to your support system? I have seen, when I started this whole campaign this year of really talking about aging and changing how we talk about it, a lot of people assumed my ultimate goal was, to defend older Americans because they're not heard, they're not listened to. And of course, that's, my whole career has been serving our seniors and making sure that they have dignity and respect. But I have also, through my experience, seen way too many times when a senior, an aging adult, is really not accepting of their current situation and is fighting their support system in every way possible. Mm-hmm. If your adult daughter comes to you and says, you've identified her as your support system, and she is saying to you, "Mom, I can't come here three times a day to make sure you took your medicine. Taking you to doctor's appointments four times a week is just really starting to get challenging." Maybe, as we know that, people are having children later. People are working longer. So most of the times we're seeing in the new generations coming, their adult children are really strapped for time and energy. And they have other responsibilities. And so we need to listen to our support system. And during that conversation, our support system also needs to say, here are my boundaries. Here's what I can do. If it gets to this point, that's when I need some additional resources. And then it kind of leads into a new conversation. What additional resources are out there? I've seen so many older adults enter into senior living angry, resentful, mad, just ticked off. And then that puts their adult child or their support system in a ton of guilt. It affects the relationship and it affects your last years of your life in aging. You know, having control as best we can, making the decisions for ourselves will allow for us to use this last wonderful chapter of our lives to enjoy it, to have as least amount of stress as possible, and to just live in the moment of gratitude for the life that you have lived and be able to express that to others. So seeing so many angry aging adults when it doesn't have to be that way, we're all going to age. You can't stop it. I think that's another big part of this piece is we have to listen to our support system. And sometimes that gets forgotten.
That's a really, really good point. And I can picture those seniors that you were saying, they're angry, they're bitter, they don't want to be there. And what kind of life is that going to feel like when they feel that maybe they've been dumped there because that was the only option? You know, that's really not how I would want to spend out my days, you know. And I would think that on the other side of the coin, let's say somebody did prepare themselves, they did prepare their family, they did put a lot of consideration into the things that they want. And here they are living in the place that they wanted to live in, that they're around the people that they want to be around. You know, what do you see is the main difference between the person that prepared and the person that didn't?
Fulfillment. I mean, like I said, a life of a gratitude, enjoyment. They have a sense of humor about their aging and their, you know, how it is and living in a community. They can just find joy in their current situation, which nobody wants to be in that situation. That's not, you know, I don't know, because my husband and I are very social. So we always say we're going to be the first ones of all our friends and that 55 and older, just having a good old time, you know, but I've also seen how it can be beneficial. You just see a lightness to somebody who can enjoy their children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, and just has good relationships. And I should also mention that during when you're putting that aging plan in place, and all of a sudden being aware that part of your support system, listening to your support system, is listening when the plans have changed. You know, sometimes we can put all the plans we want in place and our support system said, yep, I got it. Well, then all of a sudden something maybe changed in their life, or maybe they realized that they took on too much. So being able to also hear them say, I tried as I could to follow this exact plan, but we need to make some changes. And being accountable for those changes, you can have control of those changes because you've allowed your support system to feel comfortable enough to come to you and say, all right, we got to do a little tweaking here and let's figure it out. And then once again, the result is just fulfillment, control, and joy.
At the beginning of our conversation, you talked about how the aging arena is exploding or expanding. What kinds of things, or you refer to some new things that are coming up. What are these new things?
Sure. So one of the biggest things I always tell people, because they don't realize, there's this whole category of within the industry of senior movers. They specifically help seniors downsize, whatever that may look like, into a community, into a smaller home. But they do it in such a way that it doesn't feel overwhelming. It's going to feel overwhelming no matter what, but it takes a lot of the overwhelmedness out of it. They are your soup to nuts. They pack you, but they also unpack you, put up all your pictures because you've decided where they're going to be. You've had your floor plan. They create a floor plan. So it's really catered towards seniors. Another option that's fairly new, but kind of exploding, is there's a senior certification that you can get if you're a real estate agent. And it's specifically also catered to teach real estate agents that selling a home of an aging adult is a very different emotional process for them than maybe their 30-some-year-olds that are ready to move and shake. And, you know, downsizing is a lot different. Those are two. Mental health in the senior world is also something that is really, we need it quicker than we're getting it, but there are companies that are coming into local areas to specifically focus on mental health for the seniors. There's doctors that will come into your home. A lot of communities now have primary care physicians that's their whole thing. They come into your home. So you don't, you know, as you age, you have a lot of doctor's appointments. So it does allow for a little more comfortableness and help with transportation. And I could go on and on. But
well, it's really interesting because those first two that you mentioned, so helping downsize and helping sell the house, I have podcasts that I've done interviewing people that are doing that. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes for our listeners. And the only one that I wasn't aware of is going back to doctor home visits, because I know, you know, that's what doctors did when I was younger too. So it's like we're going full circle and we're actually getting the care that that we really need. So it's really exciting to hear. I mean, the aging population is growing. There are statistics that say that we are probably the largest group out there. And so it makes sense for companies to fill the need. And so that's what you're saying. And that's why I'm excited is that there are some new ideas coming up. So that's really awesome. And, you know, for you with your business, you're helping people to navigate this. Do you want to share just a little bit about what you do to help people?
Sure. So of course, I help families that are in crisis. They come to me already in a crisis and I help them navigate. I'm able to take the emotion out of it and put a plan in place. But I also work with a lot of couples or singles that are in early retirement and have, you know, heard my talks or and really want to start thinking about that aging plan. And so that's an initial assessment. I do a lot on Zoom, so all over, because it's just really some simple questions that you can ask and just start putting answers to. I do a lot of blogging on different things you can start thinking about. I recently did one called Intentionally Decluttering. Why do we leave garages filled with stuff for our adult children to deal with when we're gone? They don't want it. I know it's hard to, you know. So really trying to get the education out there. But I love to personally connect with families, aging adults, and just really talk through the aging process and what current struggles they're having and how we can help navigate and put a plan in place.
Oh, that's beautiful. I really love your positivity about this whole process because it is scary. It isn't necessarily something we want to focus on, but you've got such a practical way of looking at it to just kind of dispel the fears and to just get a plan in place so that you can have your happy life. You know, that's what we're here to have is a happy life. One thing that you want us to know.
That we're all going to age. And that you can't run from it and you can't hide from it, but you can do things to have the most control of it. And that will ultimately produce a feeling of success and a feeling of control, obviously, but also that gratitude and joy that you can have in your later years.
You can now find my podcast, my book, and soon my classes on babyboomer.org, the ultimate, most trusted source for news, information, and community. They've curated all the resources on the things that interest you. Check it out today at babyboomer.org. This episode brought to you by Lunch with a Healer podcast. The best conversations happen when you're having lunch with a friend, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair at lunchwithahealer.com.